And that also adds to Isaiah's anxiety. But here's what happens. Then one of the seraphs, one of the angels, flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. In the first part of verse 7, with it, he touched my mouth. So he's at the mercy of God. What's God going to do in response to this horrific comprehension that Isaiah has just come to, that he has offended a holy God by his very words, let alone his actions? We haven't even got into that. Just his words have offended a holy God. How is God going to respond to that? Well, he says, here's what happens next. This angel flies down to the altar and takes tongs, and out of the altar he pulls one of these live coals, just burning fire red hot. And he says, he flies towards me, and Isaiah can tell by how he's coming that he's flying towards his mouth. And so, and here's my take on this, and I'll tell you why, based on the context. Here's this angel coming with this live coal towards the mouth of Isaiah, and I think there is a sense, I'm sure there's fear. I mean, nobody looks forward to what he thinks is going to happen next. So here, you know, in a few moments, he's going to feel the excruciating pain of having a live coal touched to his lips. He's going to get to smell his own flesh in his nostrils burning. The pain that comes from that, and then even maybe walking through his mind, boy, this is going to be a long time in recovery. In fact, there will always be scars. But I also suspect, just based on some of the things that and reading between the lines, that there is a sense of relief for Isaiah, because he doesn't flee, he doesn't run from the situation. I would think that's coming at me, I'm looking for a way out. But there's none of that. He seems like he stands in there. And it's kind of like, you know, I know this is going to be painful, but when it's done, at least there will be a relief. At least I'll have done my time. At least I can say, you know, okay, I paid the penalty. And so I suspect there's a sense of both those things. You know, we've all been in those situations, maybe as a child where we did something and we know we shouldn't, and man, we're carrying the guilt around. We're just carrying around. And we don't want to tell on ourselves, but when it comes out, yeah, we know it's going to hurt, but really there's relief. I'm so glad the weight's gone, it's over. And I suspect that maybe that's some of what is going on in Isaiah right now as he sees this coal, and he just kind of stands in there. Bring it on. Let's get this over with so I can have the relief that comes after the fact. I think he knows what's coming, and he's saying, it's deserved. Let's get this over with, because I want to know that things are taken care of. I want to get rid of this weight that I'm carrying around at this realization of that I've offended my God. Let's just get this over with. And so he's ready. He's geared up. He's bracing himself for the pain. But here's what I think, and I will tell you, just because you need to know this, I'm really kind of stepping aside from almost every other commentary I read or other pastors I've heard teach at this moment. And even the men, as we're studying R.C. Sproul, and R.C. Sproul is no lightweight for sure when it comes to the Word of God, but he talked about the searing pain that happened when the coal touched his mouth. But you know what? I don't think that's the case. I think he was ready for it. I think he expected it. But I don't think that ever happened. I don't think he felt a thing. And there's a couple of reasons why I believe that. And one of them is just the context. There's no, you know, cry. And I would see, you know, even Jesus, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knows what's coming with the cross. And we're told he groans. There's none of that there. There's no reaction. And in a few moments, he's actually talking to God. Now, some could say, yeah, that was just a miraculous thing. I don't think so. And the context is part of what has led me to believe that he didn't experience what he thought. But what's really led me to believe that is later on, this very same document written by Isaiah, he writes about something that's going to happen in 6 years. And here's what he writes. He, Jesus, was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we're healed. See, I don't think Isaiah experienced any pain at that moment. He fully expected it. He felt he deserved it. Bring it on. I should. You know, when I realize the kind of things I've said in a nonchalant way about my God, I deserve this. Bring it on. Let's get this over with so I can say at least I've done my time. And then that coal touches his lips from my perspective, and he doesn't feel any of it. And later on, God allows him to write about an event that's going to take place 600 years later, when the Son of God would come to earth and go to the cross, and on that cross, and even before he got to the cross, would go through that crushing experience of the beatings. And every step of the way, everything he walked through, he would be doing it for our benefit. He would take on himself the pain we deserve, the nails we deserved, the piercing we deserved. He would take the pain, he would take the suffering. It was ours, but he would take on himself so that you and I would not have to experience it. All we would get out of the whole thing was the gain. The forgiveness that came because our sins were paid for on our behalf, in our place, by our Savior. And God allowed Isaiah to write about that 600 years before it happened. And I suspect in my own mind that as he's writing these words, he's thinking back in that moment, as he saw that coal come towards his lips and said in his heart, this is what I deserve. And then the pain didn't come. It was Jesus pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. His punishment brought us peace. His wounds healed us. It was an amazing moment for Isaiah because what should have happened to him didn't. And then he gets to write about why. You know, probably in this room, there are some here that are weighed under a heavy burden. Something has happened, or you've done it, or you've said it, and there's just so much on your shoulders. You just can't get past it. And you carry it around. And in one way back in the recesses of your mind, you almost hope maybe it would be exposed because at least there would be relief. And you're certain that this is such a big deal, such a terrible thing, that I'll never be able to move on. And what God wants you to know today is that's what the cross was about. He paid the penalty so you could move on. So relief could come, so you could know the freedom of forgiveness and get to experience the grace and mercy of a holy God who has every right and every reason to demand that we pay for everything, every word that's come out of our mouth and then doesn't. Isaiah went into this moment, exposed the holiness of God, declaring that somebody should just do him in now because he has nothing to offer to anyone, especially to holy God. And then God said, no, it's time to move on. He thought he was ruined. And God says, no, now you're ready. So the angel touched his mouth. And it says, when he touched my mouth, he said, see, this has touched your lips, and your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for. And don't you like the way he says that? It's not just that your sin has been atoned for, paid for. The penalty is over. The price is paid. Nothing else is owed. But he says, even your guilt has been taken away. And yet, some of us still feel guilty, don't we? And you know why? It's because we have an accuser who's up there. And you know, you and I, I've done it too. We have these conversations with God. And we know we've failed him. We know we've sinned against him. And the Bible says, you know, we'll talk to him about it. Tell him what you've done. And so we've gone to him. We said, God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And John writes in 1 John, he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive our sins. And here's that second part, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not only is it forgiven, but he cleanses. He wiped the slate clean. And you know, sometimes I think, you know, and personally I've done this too, where you know, there's these things I've done in my life, and I've talked to God about them. And then some time passes and the accuser comes in, or maybe just it's my own conscience, I don't know. And so I go back and say, well, God, I know that I talked to you about this a while back, but I probably need to talk to you again. You remember, and it's like he's saying, oh, wait a minute. We already had this conversation. It's wiped clean. There's no guilt anymore. This is done for. Isaiah needed that day. As he suddenly recognizes he came face to face with the holiness of God. You know, and here's what's interesting. Minutes before that, I don't think he would never even, if you'd ask him, okay, what's the deepest, darkest? He would never have gone to his words. It would have been something else. Oh man, you should. And yet, face to face with the holiness of God, he writes, even my words have been a sin against God. He needed something to bring him relief. And I think he was willing, even that means a hot coal and scarred life. I'll take that if it can bring relief. Did relief come for him? He didn't have any pain. Did he get gain? Goes on, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And he said, send me. Is this the same guy back in verse 5? I got to tell you, if God had asked that question a few minutes earlier, he's the last man to volunteer. There's no way he would have been looking for the exit. But he understands that God has taken away the sin and the guilt. And you know what? Some of us, we don't say, send me. We don't say, here I am, because we're carrying the burden. We're still convinced that, I believe God forgave me, but I can never do that. Wait, yes you can. Someone said to me after the first service, you know, I've heard that verse so many times, here I am, send me. Never understood the context. It suddenly changes the whole thing. Moments before, Isaiah was saying, somebody put me out of my misery. And now he's saying at the call of God, hey, I need this done. I'll do it. Send me. Some of you are carrying a burden that shouldn't be there anymore. And if you're carrying it, there's a couple reasons why. One is, maybe you've never, there's something you carried and you haven't talked to God about. Well, it's time to. Tell him. Go to him. Confess it. He wants you to take the burden. Or maybe you just haven't taken him at his word. That accuser keeps stepping in and saying, yeah, I know you talked to him about it, but yeah, that was too big of a deal. Yeah, it doesn't go that easy. You need to do something else. Believe God. Don't believe him. Don't believe the accuser. I don't care if it's your conscience. I don't care if it's Satan himself. Don't believe the accuser. He's wrong. He's lying to you. And for some of us, I think it's a different thing. It's that we've never really come to terms with how big of a deal it is that we've been forgiven. You know, we kind of got this, yeah, I know God forgave me, but I really wasn't that bad of a person. So, face to face with the holiness of God, Isaiah suddenly was struck by his very words. Man, I wouldn't want God to judge me on my words in probably the last day. It's a big deal, but it's a big deal that God says, I want you to be free of. Now, there may be some in this room that's a whole different scenario for you because you don't even have that relationship with God. And I want to talk to you for just a moment. I want you to understand he is a holy God. And what the Bible says is because of our sin, we are separated from that God. And unless somebody delivers us from that sin, from the penalty of our sin, which is what Jesus hung on the cross for, we would never be able to have a relationship with him, let alone experience an eternity with him. And so what he's waiting on for you is to begin the relationship. He says, I love you, and the reason my son hung on the cross was to pay the penalty for your sin. And that's how I can offer it to you as a gift. I'm offering you a gift of forgiveness, of a restored relationship. But you got to decide, are you going to accept the gift? Are you going to turn it down? So if you're here today and you don't even have a relationship with God, he's offering you a gift. He's saying, just let me know. Do you believe that I've already paid for the sin? If you do, and I'm offering you forgiveness, then accept the forgiveness I'm offering as a gift. No strings attached, as a gift. And the moment you do, you become my child. I adopt you into my family, and you are my child. And if you make that decision, just like Isaiah, recognize it's done. There is no guilt. There is no sin. It's been paid for. You are a new creature in Christ. Don't let the burden stay. Don't be in that place so when God says, I need someone to, and you say, oh, I can't because. No. He's taken it. The answer is, here I am. Send me. Let's pray. Father, thank you. As we began, and then as we continue, we're going to start looking into those things that rob us of the awe of the awesome, that can take our vision off of you and take away where the worship that should be yours. But I got to admit, as I stepped into this series, man, it was scary. I'm not sure I want to know about your holiness. But as I've begun to study it and as we've seen together that holy, holy, holy God, that means that everything about you is holy, including your love. You have a holy love that has caused you to step in and take our place and take our penalty and make this offer to us. And so, Father, I know you don't want any of your children that are here in this room today to carry a burden. And so if we're still carrying it around for things that we long ago talked to you about, Lord, let us shut down that accuser and not listen to him anymore. And if there's someone here that hasn't stepped into a relationship with you, has been fooled somehow to think that they got to work, earn their way into your presence, today understand, let them understand, no, you're offering a gift. You're offering to take away as a gift, the very thing that has destroyed the relationship, their sin, and their guilt. Thank you for that, and help them respond to that. And Lord, continue to guide us as we delve into this subject in the weeks ahead, Lord willing. And thank you for this time we've had together. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.